This episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voice you're hearing. Today's fictional sponsor is MindMap Pro, a digital tool designed to help students organize complex academic plans and career pathways. Please remember that this sponsor is entirely fictional, and some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so I encourage you to double-check anything important with your course materials or instructor. Welcome to Unit 5 of your Online Education Strategies course. You're now more than halfway through this journey, and this is a pivotal moment. The skills you've been building aren't just academic exercises, they're becoming the foundation for how you'll navigate your entire educational and professional future. Today, we're going to focus on self-assessment, meaningful academic dialogue, and the beginning of your academic success plan. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand how to interpret rubrics like a pro, give feedback that actually helps your peers learn, create discussion posts that add real value, and start mapping your degree requirements to your career aspirations. Why does this matter right now? Because you're at the point where the training wheels come off. You're moving from simply completing assignments to genuinely engaging with your academic community and taking ownership of your educational path. Let's start with something that trips up more students than you might think: understanding what your instructors actually want from you. This comes down to one crucial skill: interpreting assignment guidelines and rubrics. Think of a rubric as a contract between you and your instructor. It's not just a grading tool, it's a roadmap that shows you exactly how to succeed. Yet many students treat rubrics like terms of service agreements. They scroll past them without really reading. Here's the first principle: read the rubric before you start working, not after you've finished. The rubric tells you what to prioritize. If organization counts for 25% of your grade and creativity counts for 10%, where should you focus your energy? Let's walk through a practical example. Imagine you're looking at an essay rubric with four criteria: thesis clarity, evidence quality, organization, and APA formatting. Each is worth 25 points. This tells you something critical. Your instructor values these elements equally. But now look deeper. If the thesis clarity section says clearly stated and arguable, yay, while the evidence section says multiple high-quality sources with proper analysis, you know that evidence requires more complex work. The rubric language gives you clues about where to invest your time. Here's a self-assessment technique that will transform your work. Before you submit anything, go through the rubric point by point and honestly evaluate your own work. Can you clearly identify your thesis? Can you point to specific evidence? Does your organization make logical sense? If you can't answer these questions confidently, your instructor probably won't be able to either. This isn't about perfectionism, it's about alignment. Are you delivering what was actually requested? Now let's turn to something that makes many students uncomfortable: giving feedback to your peers. But here's the thing. Peer feedback isn't just about helping others. It's one of the most powerful learning tools available to you. When you evaluate someone else's work, you're forced to articulate what makes an assignment effective or ineffective. This process deepens your own understanding of the material and the assignment requirements. But not all feedback is created equal. Poor feedback is generic, vague, and unhelpful. Good job or needs improvement tells your peer nothing actionable. Quality feedback, on the other hand, follows specific principles. First principle, be specific. Instead of saying your evidence is weak, say your second paragraph would be stronger with a direct quote from the source rather than just a summary. Give your peer something concrete they can act on. Second principle, ground your feedback in the assignment requirements. Don't just share your personal preferences. If the rubric emphasizes critical thinking, point to specific places where the analysis could go deeper. Third principle, balance recognition with suggestion. Acknowledge what's working well, then offer specific ways to strengthen areas that need development. This isn't about being nice, it's about being helpful. Here's what quality peer feedback looks like in practice. Your thesis is clearly stated and addresses the prompt directly, which meets the assignment requirements well. To strengthen your argument, consider adding a counterargument in paragraph 3, since the rubric emphasizes critical analysis of multiple perspectives. Notice how this feedback is specific, references the rubric, acknowledges strengths, and provides actionable guidance. This is feedback that actually helps someone learn. But feedback isn't just about technical writing skills. You also need to remain unbiased and fair. Your job is to evaluate the work against the stated criteria, not against your personal opinions or preferences. This means you need to justify your assessments. If you're giving scores or ratings, explain why. I rated this a 4 out of 5 because the argument is well supported and clearly organized, but the conclusion could more directly address the implications discussed in the prompt. Remember, every assignment is different, so avoid templated responses. Read each piece carefully and respond to what's actually there, not what you expect to find. Let's shift to another crucial skill: creating discussion posts that actually contribute to learning. Weak discussion posts simply restate the obvious or share personal opinions without support. Strong posts advance the conversation. Think about the best conversations you've had with friends or family. What made them engaging? Usually, someone brought new information, asked a thought-provoking question, or connected ideas in an unexpected way. The same principles apply to academic discussions. Your goal isn't to prove you did the reading, it's to use the reading to explore ideas more deeply. Here's a framework for meaningful discussion posts. Start with the concept or question that intrigues you most from the material. Then, add something new. An example from your experience, a connection to current events, or a question the material raised for you. For instance, instead of writing Chapter 4 talks about values and goal setting, try this approach. The values assessment in Chapter 4 got me thinking about how external pressures can conflict with our stated values. Has anyone else noticed a disconnect between what you say you value and what your actual choices reflect? Notice how this opens space for genuine dialogue. You're not just demonstrating that you did the reading, you're inviting others to engage with the ideas at a deeper level. When you reply to others, avoid the dreaded "I agree" response. Instead, build on their ideas, ask follow-up questions, or respectfully offer a different perspective. That's an interesting point about work-life balance. How do you think that might change as technology makes us more connected to work 24/7? Remember to support your contributions with evidence when appropriate. If you're making a factual claim, cite your source. If you're sharing an example, make sure it's relevant and appropriate for an academic context. Let's turn to the bigger picture, understanding how your current studies connect to your future. This week, you're beginning to research degree requirements and career options, and this isn't just an academic exercise, it's strategic planning for your life. Chapter 4 of your college success reading emphasizes something crucial. Your values should guide your decision-making. This isn't feel-good advice. It's practical wisdom. When your choices align with your values, you're more likely to stay motivated through challenges. So let's start there. What are your core values? The chapter provides a comprehensive list to help you identify your top 5. These might include things like achievement, balance, creativity, family, independence, or service to others. Once you've identified your values, ask yourself, how do these values connect to your educational choices? If you value creativity and independence, how does your chosen major support those values? If you value family and stability, what career paths would honor those priorities? This isn't about finding the perfect match. It's about making informed choices. Understanding the connection between your values and your goals helps you stay focused when the work gets challenging. Let's talk about goal setting. Chapter 4 distinguishes between long-term and short-term goals, and this distinction is more important than you might think. Your long-term goal might be complete a bachelor's degree in business administration. But what are the short-term goals that will get you there? Effective short-term goals are specific and actionable. Instead of do well this semester, try complete all discussion posts by Sunday each week, or meet with my academic advisor before registration opens. These concrete steps make your long-term goal achievable. The chapter also emphasizes something many students overlook: planning for adjustments. Your goals aren't set in stone. As you learn more about your field, gain new experiences, or encounter unexpected opportunities, your goals should evolve. This is why regular check-ins are so important. set specific times, maybe at the end of each semester, to review your progress and adjust your plans if needed. Are you still on track? Do your goals still align with your values? What have you learned that might change your direction? Let's get practical about degree requirements. Different degrees serve different purposes, and understanding these distinctions helps you make better choices. An associate's degree might prepare you for immediate employment or transfer to a four-year program. A bachelor's degree typically combines general education, major requirements, and electives. Here's what you need to research. What are the total credit requirements for your degree? What are the specific major requirements? Are there special requirements like internships, fieldwork, or capstone projects? Understanding these details helps you plan your timeline and prepare for what's ahead. Career research is equally important. Don't just look at job descriptions, research salary ranges, growth projections, and educational requirements. Some careers require specific certifications or licenses beyond your degree. Others value experience as much as education. Resources like the Bureau of Labor Statistics Occupational Outlook Handbook to get reliable information about career prospects. Talk to people working in your field of interest. What do they wish they had known when they were students? Now let's talk about bringing all of this together in your academic success plan. This isn't just another assignment, it's a living document that will guide your educational journey. Your academic success plan should include several key components. First, your values and how they connect to your educational and career goals. This provides the foundation for all your other decisions. Second, your specific degree requirements and a realistic timeline for completion. This includes not just courses, but any special requirements like internships or fieldwork that you've identified in your research. Third, your career research findings. What are two or three career paths that interest you? What additional preparation might they require? How do they align with your values and lifestyle goals? Fourth, your support system and resources. Who can help you stay on track? What campus resources are available? How will you monitor your progress and make adjustments when needed? Finally, your next steps. What specific actions will you take in the next month, next semester, next year? These should be concrete and measurable, not vague intentions. Remember, this is a draft. Your academic success plan should evolve as you gain more experience and self-knowledge. The goal isn't to predict your entire future, it's to make thoughtful, informed decisions about your immediate next steps. As you work on your plan, pay attention to how your academic goals and career goals align. Sometimes students choose majors without fully understanding the career implications, or they have career dreams that don't match their academic choices. This alignment doesn't have to be perfect, but it should be intentional. If there's a mismatch, you need to understand it and make conscious choices about how to address it. Let's pause here for a moment of reflection. Take a minute to think about your values. What are the top three values that guide your decisions? How do these values show up in your choices about education and career? Now think about your goals. Are your short-term goals actually helping you progress toward your long-term goals? If not, what adjustments might you need to make? As we wrap up, I want you to see how all these skills connect. Self-assessment helps you give better feedback. Meaningful discussion participation deepens your learning. Values-based planning keeps you motivated through challenges. These aren't separate skills. They're interconnected tools for lifelong learning and professional success. The ability to assess your own work, communicate effectively with others, and make strategic decisions about your future, these skills will serve you well beyond college. Your discussion this week, you'll have the chance to practice these skills. When you share your values and career research, you're not just completing an assignment, you're engaging in the kind of reflective dialogue that leads to genuine insight. When you give feedback to your peers, remember the principles we discussed. Be specific, ground your comments in the assignment requirements, and offer constructive suggestions. This isn't just helping them, it's strengthening your own analytical skills. For your written assignment this week, you'll be revisiting your week 3 essay outline and developing it into a full essay. This gives you a perfect opportunity to practice self-assessment. Before you submit, check your work against the rubric. Can you identify specific places where you've met each requirement? This process of self-checking doesn't just improve your grades, it develops the kind of quality control mindset that employers value. You're learning to be your own best editor and critic. As you move forward in this course and in your academic career, remember that learning is not a passive activity. It requires you to engage actively with ideas, reflect honestly on your own work, and contribute meaningfully to your learning community. Habits you're building now, careful reading of requirements, thoughtful self-assessment, constructive feedback, strategic planning, these will compound over time. Each time you practice them, you're not just completing an assignment, you're becoming a more effective learner and professional. So here's your challenge for this week. Approach each activity with genuine curiosity. When you complete the values assessment, really consider what drives your decisions. When you research career options, go beyond surface-level job descriptions to understand what those careers actually involve day to day. When you give feedback to your peers, think carefully about what would actually help them improve. When you participate in discussions, aim to add something valuable to the conversation, not just to meet the posting requirement. Remember, you're building skills that extend far beyond the university setting. The ability to verify information, give constructive feedback, and make strategic decisions based on your values, these capabilities will serve you in every aspect of your professional and personal life. The most important insight from today's lecture is this: your education is not something that happens to you, it's something you actively create. By developing strong self-assessment skills, engaging meaningfully with your peers, and making intentional choices about your academic path, you're taking ownership of your learning in a way that will pay dividends for years to come. Your next step is to complete the values assessment and begin researching your degree requirements with genuine curiosity about how they connect to your future aspirations. This isn't busy work. It's the foundation for making informed decisions about one of the most significant investments of your time and resources. Good luck with your assignments this week. Remember to approach them not just as requirements to fulfill, but as opportunities to develop the skills and insights that will guide your academic and professional success.